You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, please indulge me just a little bit. Think back to 2002. How old were you? For those of you who were born then, number 2000 would not really know. But think back to 2002 and you will see how much has changed thanks to technological advances. The main impact has been via the internet and the mobile technology as well, which has changed how we function in business and also in our own personal lives there. What about the next 20 years, you might be thinking? It is hard to predict changes so far into the future, but fortunately, some people, well, they specialize in doing precisely that kind of thinking for us. And one of those who is on the line, who we are privileged to talk to, is Ronald, a thinker. Mhlekazi, good evening.
Hi, Tabelo, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm not bad, thank you.
Ah, fantastic. I'm told that you've got, what do they call this thing? An ability to see into the future, a crystal ball. And you're going to tell us, so what's 20 years looking like from now on, eh?
Well, I appreciate the kind gesture. Yeah, I think it's always important to have your eyes set forward so that you know what's going on.
Ah, very important. Anyways, how was your day?
It was good. And yours?
Mine was okay. I think there was a bit of a mixed bag as well. You know, had a lot of reports and but look forward to these conversations as always. So it was not a bad day, but can't wait for this quarter to end. Let's see what quarter two has in store for us. You know, towards the half year of 2024. Time flies, eh?
It does, eh?
Yeah.
It really does.
And it's very, 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 very scary how time flies as well. But anyways, thank you so much, man, once again for joining us. Really appreciate your time. And do you want to just, for those of our listeners who were not here the last time we spoke in January that might not know you, just share a bit about you?
All right. Ronald is a software developer. He also trades ICT. So all your courses in tech. That kind of space. I spent a lot of time in education technology. So also trying to bring not only tech products onto the market, but to make education better through technology adaptation.
Ah, fantastic. That's great. And I think the last report I read from Disrupt Africa, we're talking about how edutech is taking, of course, the space across the African continent. So you're in a very, very interesting sector and field as well. But let's take a bit of a few steps back. And I know bit is just an exaggeration, but let's go back, Ronald, and just look at how technology has changed over the last 20 years. What are some of the things that you have noted, major ones that have since changed or have been impacted by technology in your own experience?
What comes to mind first is Kodak.
Yeah.
You know, my early years, I was able to experience going to a studio, a photo booth.
Yeah.
That wait like days to get a photo taken. They would go through the process of washing your photos.
And, yeah.
You know, and I remember we used to play Snake.
Yeah.
On my dad's phone, it was just like a brick.
Yeah.
But now, you know, everything has changed. You know.
Yeah.
So now, looking at it, we also used to have the postman bring your newspaper to your doorstep. You'd only read about the news and on a hard paper, on a hard copy. It was something. That's always that swag with, but now I mean I can read about anything on my phone.
Yeah,
WhatsApp faster than your mainstream news outlets.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So a lot has changed. I mean, if I look at just in South Africa, for example, the last, 10, 20 years ago, we had the privilege of what we used to call public pay phones, for example. And they were in every little corner you can think about, in especially the locations, right? And that was also because, you know, we couldn't afford like your mobile cell phones and all those sort of stuff. So we'd go to the public phone. Do you know how awkward it was to be on a public phone talking to someone that you loved? It was like the most awkwardest of things, because they are waiting on the other line to say, "I love you." And you've got people sitting here and they're like, "Okay." So that's one of the things when I glanced back, I was like, "Yo, those times were really, really interesting." But I think they were the most awkward. But I think if we juxtapose them to today, they look awkward, but at the time they didn't look awkward. For example, like you make an example with the newspaper. It actually looks awkward today to see someone carrying a newspaper, right, as opposed to actually reading online. Is our juxtaposition the problem here, or really we've really moved in with technological advances?
Yeah, thank you for that memory. You know, you would be out there and you are talking to someone. I also remember we had a landline at home.
Yeah.
And someone would write down on a piece of paper their phone number. They would get home, you had to call.
Yes.
And you would always get into trouble, because especially when the bill comes at the end of the month, you know, and they're trying to understand why is the bill up.
Yeah.
You know.
And then your name and the person you're calling comes up every now and who's this person that you're calling?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this has changed over time. I feel like people who don't, who didn't go through that experience, won't ever get to feel how it is to not be able to read the message.
Yeah,
and the urge of knowing that it's either one call or not. You know, you put in your coin, and until someone actually picks up, you can't speak to them.
Mm.
Even writing later, you know, you have to wait for a response 3 days later, a few days after. Now it's everything is instant, you know. So a lot has changed in that regard. Everything is instant, and you're on to something new every now and then. Yeah.
Some might argue that, because I just want to sit on this point that you just made right now, that we are always on to something new. And it's always like a red race, right? It never ends. We are constantly searching for something new. And I suppose that then makes some people in some corners, you know, to argue that the advancement in technology have actually brought about more heartache than relief. And some might even argue that perhaps some of this heartache and no relief is something that we have brought upon ourselves with this technology. And then we have to acknowledge, Ronald, that while there are good things about these technological advances, but there are some bad, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. There's also good stuff and there's also bad.
Yeah,
because you realize you now, children. I mean, content is all over. You know, both good and bad.
Mm.
You know, it's at your disposal. If you mistype something on the internet, it will lead you directly to what you typed. And for the growing generation.
Mm.
There are so many addictions that come with the exposure and the instant access to any form of information online, right? Also, the social pressures that have come with access to the internet, or the need to impress, having to show that you are here this weekend, you are there next weekend. You know, has also led to other issues. Like, you know, people are looking out for those who are not at home, and you attract their own attention to you, and you find you are in some trouble because you have painted somewhat of a good life on social media, and you attract their own attention.
And I think it adds unnecessary pressure, isn't it? Especially for young people who can't necessarily, you know, be able to differentiate, like I said yesterday, the woods from the trees, and everything looks the same and it's distorted. And some of these things come out where you see that the person that you admired because of what you see on social media, you know, they appear to be like this and fancy and all that. And then only comes out that, nah, man, all of those things were not, we're not, you know, as they appear, and we find ourselves in problems unnecessarily that we shouldn't even be finding ourselves in. Is there a way to disassociate yourself from technological advances?
Well, there's sometimes you can't voluntarily disassociate yourself, but it calls for stronger minds and stronger willpower to be able to guard against this, because you can't control what you see sometimes. However, you can also limit, like, for example, if it's social media access, you can limit what you see, you can put parental controls, and you can even, for example, avoiding calls at night, you put your phone on do not disturb. Those are some of the benefits of staying in control with who gets in touch or who has access and what you see.
But that's easier said than done there, Ronald, let's be honest.
Absolutely. I think that's why I said it calls for someone with strong willpower.
Yeah.
Because it's not a very easy decision to make. It's something that you need to be conscious, and you also understand the disadvantages of not being disciplined in that regard.
And I don't want to sit here and bash technological advances, right? Because there are bad things as much as there are good things. And some of the bad, like you said, we just need to find a way to be, I suppose, strong-willed and be able to differentiate when it's time to do certain things and all those sort of stuff. But what are the few good things so far? I mean, you've mentioned, the advancement, for example, in the newspapers and digital space. Now we don't have to necessarily carry these paper-based newspapers. You know, we've got phones where you can read this thing. And these technological advances, to be honest, they've become second nature. I mean, children born these nowadays, it's almost like they are born into these things before we even teach them. So there clearly is some good as well, without necessarily just bashing technology.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of them. I'll just mention a few. For example, in there will be a transformation in your transport industry. With the introduction of electric cars and autonomous vehicles, you realize there's now less emissions in the atmosphere. We're going solar in terms of energy, we're going wind power. So you find the harm that was happening because of other fuel emissions. Not that they will be eradicated, but there'll be less. Virtual reality giving you access to spaces where you can't go, right? Removing the geographical boundaries through virtual reality. You've got biotechnology that's coming up and allowing us to find cures to diseases, you know, new fungi for different aspects. And you've got houses being built through 3D printing. They take less. I know of a guy recently who has had a housing project that could, instead of taking over 5 years to build staff housing for a company, they are doing that within a year.
Sure.
Because the same way you're printing a paper or printing stuff on paper, you can now print a house. You know, you can now print car parts. They can actually be used. Maybe just two more. Renewable energy. You can take advantage of that. As I mentioned, solar.
and
wind energy. And then also you see, we see also cultural and social shifts.
Okay.
You know, both good and bad cultural shifts that have been pushed into societies. I mean, you find like now Africans were not the best in terms of healthy activities, but you find you've got people going for marathons because of a cultural shift that has been pushed through social media. So both the good and bad has been pushed to people through access to information online.
Yeah. Sure. There's a comment that says, please print me a Range Rover. Are you able to do that, Ronald?
that's not my space. I can't definitely do that.
But I'm sure there is. Yeah. You know, I was listening to an interview earlier on today, right? And this young lady runs a construction company where they actually create bricks. And I'm going back to the point that you made about 3D printing for houses, for example. They create bricks, the bricks that we know, but they create them using waste. So, for example, they take plastics, like your literal plastics, and build a brick. And then there's certain 10 MP something, MPH, MPH that it must adhere to because that's the industry standard in terms of the weight of that particular brick so that you can then be able to build a double-story house or something like that and all that. Mara, Ronald, let's be honest. These things, they're going to fall on us. A brick made of plastics because of technological advancements and the machines that she's using. Like you're saying, we are seeing things we've never thought we'll actually see.
I mean, it also means that you can change the style of a house you stay in every year.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't think about it like that.
So, I mean, if you look at it that way, then I think we're on a good path.
So every year you're changing the brick to look like that, and then Ronald. But I think it underscores exactly what you're saying, that it's really scary. What's happening with technology? And so my question then is, how far in the future do we look? Is 10 years, 20 years, maybe even 30 years much more, I suppose, safer? Because these things are happening at a very, very high, rapid speed.
Well, I mean, different elements are affected by different aspects. But I do know that 10, 20 years is enough to look there.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're looking at the vision for your personal company, you then have to look probably 5 years because you need to plan, you know. Mm. You may not have the actual roadmap, but at least the vision must be long-term, you know. Mm. And unfortunately, especially with tech, you cannot plan even for a year because things will change so rapidly and you won't understand what's happening. I mean, you look at the arrival of Starlink in Africa.
Mm.
It has caused some turmoil, you know. Mm. has caused a big change, you know.
Mm.
And this happened just a short space of time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Lyft airline has really also contributed to a disruption just in the South African market when it comes to the airline space and all that. So how do we prepare then for the changes that, of course, are coming with this technology that is inadvertently and something that we seem to not finding a way to even avoid it? How do we prepare for it?
I think it's important to just keep up with the trends. I mean, like right now, the what's trending is professions are shifting,
okay,
they're changing,
okay,
and you definitely need to be aware of that, right? You definitely need to find your space in the tech space or taking advantage of technology to do business or to become better. So that's what's actually trending. It will take more effort to keep up to date and be someone who's relevant in this ever-changing global village.
And how do you do that, practically speaking?
Sorry?
How do you do that, practically speaking, like keeping up with those trends?
Okay, so I also follow Vusi Tembekwayo, and I mean he's got a video that he posted recently, and he's like, look, if you're in the tech space and you want to keep up with what's happening in Silicon Valley, then follow these people. It may not apply to you, but it just helps you in the event that you want to relocate or you want to go somewhere else in the world. This is what's happening. So you are just accordingly, right? And also a lot of market research. It may take time for Zimbabwe to accept the Tesla car here. Like when you're looking at in terms of the car parts or the affordability and maintenance. But there's something that people really need right now. There's someone who can't type, there's someone who can't use a mobile phone. This is what's here right now. So we could take advantage of that.
Now, as you mentioned that, I mean, your Teslas, these are like innovations and changes, I suppose, in the automobile space that from the West, for example. Is there a way to contextualize these current trends to make them fit and make sense to us as Africans, for example? And if there is, how do we do that? Do we need more tech entrepreneurs, tech innovators in Africa? And if so, why are we not having these type of conversations?
If I'm looking at it from a Zim perspective, we also have a lot of enablers that need to be put in place for us to adapt and adopt that tech. For example, infrastructure. If we want to then take advantage of to include tech in our transportation, then we probably need road access. We need rail to be working. Not that it's not. I'm just saying these are some of the things that would assist to make tech adaptation easier, right? You want to use robots in the house, maybe a robot that cleans for you, but do you actually have access to power every day so that this thing keeps charged, access to Wi-Fi, you know? So we still have a lot of background work that needs to be done before we can say, hey, let's go 60 years into the future and say, this is what we can now use.
And I'm told we are a couple of decades behind the rest of the world when it comes to technology as well. And we see these things on the TV and all that. I mean, I had a friend that went to the US and brought a phone. I don't even remember the name of the phone. But brought a phone and I was like, what on earth is this? But when you looked at the features, you realize that we are certainly behind the world in terms of such things as well. And I suppose Silicon Valley is just one example of how far we are behind in terms of technological advancements that are taking place. So you're saying market research, you know, follow the trends and find out what's happening, connect with the people that are really game changers. And are contributing to the changes that are happening in the world. You know, the changes might take time in the particular context in which you are in terms of the country. And like you said, the lack of infrastructure and all that. But doesn't mean that the world is not moving. The world is moving and it's orbiting around the axis, as the people in geography would say. So things are moving in other parts of the world, and we must find a way to also acclimatize ourselves to those movements in the world. But lastly, as we go towards the end on this one, is how do we then avoid or at least mitigate, I suppose, the possible negative side effects that are now standing for us in the future there? Or are these technological advancements in the future at least to some level safer for us?
I think we must acknowledge that damage has been done in the past. To the environment, to the people, and everyone, if as far as I'm concerned, is trying to make a solution to better our lives. I'll give an example of when Zoom was introduced during the days of, actually, Zoom became popular. Not that it was introduced. It became popular during COVID because it was a media. It was a source of communication for a lot of people. And so, but there were also other technologies that became popular, which weren't good. So there will always be access to everything. Though we are slowly getting warmed up to dial-a delivery, to access food and all that. But do you want to eat junk food every evening just because it's easily accessible and it's cheaper than preparing a proper meal? You know, so that strong willpower then comes in and say, look, you now need to have more solid solutions or decisions to make and say, yes, this has come by, but is it beneficial to me as an individual or not?
And I think with the way currently, as we see how technology is affecting people's mental health as well, so that question around, is this thing beneficial for me, becomes very critical, and I suppose will become even more critical in the future as well, as these changes happen. But it does sound like you know, the adaptation and I suppose adoption is faster than when these changes, I suppose, a couple of 20 years ago were introduced in the markets. Is that a fair assessment?
Sorry, come again.
I was saying, is it a fair assessment to say that even with the changes as rapid as they are currently happening, adaptation and people adopting them, they seem to be adopting them at a fairly faster rate?
Yes. So people have caught on. People now understand the need to keep up because at a certain point, it there are a lot of cost savings that come with using a better technology for various reasons. You know, it's just like using an app, buying maybe your weights, and then you do your home workouts versus going to the gym, you know, and then maybe paying for an app subscription per month that just shows you what you need to do, how to do it correctly. It's becoming your instructor, maybe at the price of $1.99 a month versus paying $100 in the gym. You know, so that is what drives people to adopt. The need for something is what then has driven people to adopt. I mean, no one trained anyone else to use WhatsApp. You know, but because it was the most affordable and convenient way to communicate, the mind automatically is motivated to
And it's very difficult to think of ourselves without these things, eh? Yeah, it's very, very difficult. They've become a second nature to us. But thank you so much, Ronald. Really appreciate your time this evening, and we shall talk again some other time.
Thanks, Tapelo. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening as well.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.